Let us pray. Sender of fire and wind, of the Spirit that guides us and prompts us and calls us to new life, be with us in this time. May we hear you speaking and stirring in our hearts. May we respond, letting your flame touch us and burn brightly. This we pray in the name of Christ, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. When you think about the Holy Spirit, what do you think about?
A dove.
That's right. Anyone else? I really want you to yell things out. We've got doves.
Love.
Okay. Wind. Fire. Grace. Mercy, gratitude, mercy, yeah. Action and light. Guidance, support, a maker of the way. These are all part of how we experience the Spirit of God. Our hymns talk about the Spirit being like the breath of God. In fact, the word Holy Spirit, Spirit, Ruha, is breath. The hymn that we will sing after this sermon talks about the Spirit of gentleness. Most often, this is how we envision the Spirit, even as clergy. The Spirit as this companion, a great friend to hold us in those weak moments, to show us wisdom and guide us on. Yet if this is the only way that we ever view the Holy Spirit, we are missing out on a full and complete understanding of what it means to be Spirit-driven people. You see, the Holy Spirit has been domesticated in the minds of so many of us. Like a wild stallion that has been caught and broken for a rider, we often only see a pale image of what the Spirit is capable of what the Spirit ultimately desires to do. The Spirit was there in the beginning. Genesis 1 tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. It was the Spirit of God, the mighty breath of God, that took the words and transformed the formless void of darkness into creation. And the Spirit of God desires to do such a radical transformation in us as well. To breathe on us, causing joy, truth, life, hope, love, wisdom, and peace, the gifts of the Spirit, to burst forth in our lives. And in doing so, shake the foundations of how we live and what we do to make us into a new creation. And yet, even though we know that these are very good things, it makes us uncomfortable. And so, instead of talking about how transformation in the Spirit is as radical as our creation story, we talk about gentleness, about opening our eyes and being helped. in what we want to do by God's Spirit. But that wild stallion is still there. The fiery tongues and the rushing wind, the unconceivable change that makes someone behave so radically different from what they have previously done, that people say they are drunk in the streets. That wild stallion is there, waiting to break forth. It is a spirit that will turn our life upside down and inside out if we let it. It's happened to me. First, in my call to go into ministry at all, and then in the call to come here. For you see, after studying at the Atlantic School of Theology, Mike and I headed back out west to be closer to family, to have kids of our own, to minister in the prairies where we were formed, raised, and loved. We had toured Atlantic Canada in our time at school, not expecting to be back anytime soon. We had made future plans to someday bring our future not yet conceived children to experience the culture and the beauty of this place. But when we packed up and moved to Saskatchewan, we knew we would never live here again. I should know that we should never say never. For living in the Spirit means being open to God, whose ways are not always our ways. And the Spirit moved. It moved in the people who sent me your joint needs assessment. Not once, not twice, but three times from three different people. And he was not one of them. First, I tossed it aside, saying, "This position is out east. I'm not going there." The second time I read it and dismissed it because we want to be near family. It looks so great, but it's so far away. It's just not convenient. And when it came across my desk again, I had to acknowledge that when I read the words on that paper, I felt a stirring. And so the discussion and discernment began. Following the Spirit shook up our lives, Mike and I. It turned things upside down. It led us where we did not expect to come. But the Holy Spirit was also there helping us, causing us to realize where we were meant to be and who we are meant to be. And in the end, was a new beginning, something that we discovered that we had never expected. The Holy Spirit wants to do this for you too. Maybe not pack you up and move you across the country, but to bring you to where you are meant to be, who you are meant to be, and do what you are meant to do. It's not always gentle. It's not always easy. But God never promised that of the way of faith. Jesus only promised that the Spirit would be with us until the end. It is time, my brothers and sisters of faith, it is time to take the reins off of the Holy Spirit, to let it run free and wild among us, to inspire, to uplift, to recreate us, to wake us from placidness and apathy. It is time, brothers and sisters, to let the Spirit sting with the sand, to goad and drive us to a better way, to blow through us with all its power. It is time to let the Spirit break open our hearts and our plans, to give us fresh vision, new dreams, and the energy to make it all happen. It is time. Come, Holy Spirit, come, and amen. So let us sing, Spirit of Gentleness, and listen to the words of the chorus.